It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Welcome to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. This is Aaron.
This is Craig.
And we're coming to you again this week from the beautiful Lee Berry Complex just outside of Nashville, Tennessee in Studio One.
Where it is very sunny and beautiful outside today.
It is a nice day. And if you're listening on the weekend, I hope you're having a great weekend. And if you're listening any other time, I hope you're having a good day then too.
Either way, thanks for listening.
Please tell your friends.
Please tell your friends. Please.
Please
tell your friends.
We're not begging.
No. We're just suggesting.
Hey, Craig.
What?
I got lots of good stories this week. There were some weird, funny, strange stories.
I hope so.
Around.
We wouldn't have a podcast if there weren't.
That's true. Some would say we don't have a podcast as it is.
Do you have any more good ones like that monkey last week that was drunk and tried to stab people?
So our first headline this week is dog stabs owner with knife in Hudson.
Wait, whoa. How convenient that I just mentioned that.
Isn't that funny?
Wow. What's with these animals stabbing everybody?
Animals are getting, what's the word, vicious violent. They're getting violent.
Lately. They're uprising.
Yes. So this comes to us from Hudson, Colorado. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but a young dog in Hudson may have accidentally learned something new after stabbing her owner with a knife on Wednesday. No, you didn't hear that wrong. Celinda Mays.
Did I hear that wrong?
You did not. Oh. Celinda Mays, the owner of a...
Celinda Haynes?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Celinda Haynes, the owner of 1.5-year-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever... Retriever dog named Mia was rushed to the hospital Wednesday morning after Mia reached over her and stabbed her left forearm with a paring knife. Mia likes to grab whatever she can to get people to play with her, explained Haynes' daughter, Shonda.
That's not playing.
No, that's threatening. And as it turns out, Mia is rather large for her age and was able to climb to the kitchen counter where she found her new sharp toy. Trying to get Mia to let go of the knife, Haynes reportedly put treats on the ground. And in her excitement, Mia reached over her arm and stabbed the owner when she went for treats. So your dog...
She gave her the treats. Why does she have to hurt her?
Your dog is threatening you with a knife. That's the funny part to me would be seeing this lady go, oh, no, drop it. Oh, here's a treat.
No, the funny part is the fact the dog doesn't have opposable thumbs. That's just funny anyway. It has nothing to do with the story.
I need to go to the hospital, Haynes told her daughter. Mia just cut my arm with a knife. The wound, a gash approximately 45 inches long and 1/4 inch wide, surprised medical staff at Plate Valley Medical Center.
Why would that surprise anybody?
I guess because...
These people never see cuts that wide, ever.
Not by a dog.
Who cares? It's still like...
I'll cut you.
Roar, Reggie. This isn't funny.
Who did not believe the...
No, I mean, it's not funny. The lady's hurt and you're laughing about it.
I'm sorry, it is funny. I had to make sure I heard that right, said Brent Flott, the town marshal. They called the marshal. Flott, get in here.
Brent, I thought you said Brent Flop. He's not very good at his job.
Brent Flott, the town marshal, was called.
Flott.
The hospital. Flott, you better get down here.
Flott.
Deputies were dispatched to the hospital as well as Haynes' home to investigate a case of possible domestic violence. I guess that would be.
Technically, it's domestic violence.
Yep, at the hospital.
Or domesticated violence.
Oh, very good.
Thank you. I'm playing all week.
Yeah, I love it. At the hospital, officials did not believe the story. I don't think I would either. If I was a doctor and somebody comes in with a gash on their arm.
No, people come in with dumb stories all the time that really we won't go into what happened.
Yeah.
But people have things that happen that they're too embarrassed to tell. And they're used to hearing wild stories.
Like, I just got back from the bank from cashing my paycheck and this dye bomb exploded. They must have given me some phony.
Right. You know. what do you know about that?
I'm not talking about that right now. Back at the family home.
You got something on your face.
Do I really?
Yeah, it's blue.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. You okay? Cookie fry.
Stop. It's too early
for that. Cookie fry. Get Aaron laughing if I can.
Deputies contacted Haynes' husband to the Deputies contacted Haynes' husband to flesh out any suspicions.
Yeah, they fleshed it out all right with a big knife.
Of domestic violence. But he had been at the DMV renewing his license.
Whatever. When the stabbing unfolded.
Okay,
I wasn't even there, see?
That's a good alibi.
I wasn't even there.
Where were you?
I'm telling you, that dog's trying to frame me.
I was at the DMV. Well, whatever. We believe you.
Honestly, staying home and stabbing somebody or being at the DMV?
Yeah, it's a toss-up right there.
Yeah, it really is.
By the end of the day, Haynes had several stitches on her arm, and the family was laughing about the situation. I told you it was funny, Craig. As for Mia, she felt pretty bad.
I don't think so.
I don't even think she knew what was going on.
I don't think at all. No clue at all.
Nah.
Oh, no. Hit the music.
Here we go.
Flagellant dentist farted so much he stank out the practice and belched the word bollocks at all staff.
This is going to be my favorite story today. I mean,
it has everything we've had before.
Even better, though.
Mixed together.
This is a professional guy.
Well,
he got through dental school.
That's true. Matthew Walton, 35, found it hilarious to blow off next to colleagues when they were trying to eat their lunch, the General Dental Council heard.
Somebody took it to the council.
Mr. Walton's colleagues were so disgusted by his behavior in the surgery, they had to walk out. You know,
this is during surgery.
And that's a whole new way of giving somebody the gas. You know?
Yeah. And it is laughing gas to me.
No one was laughing except for him.
This is hilarious.
He also offended patients by demanding to see their cash before starting work and saying the word bollocks as he belched. Bollocks.
I'm going to move over to England just to go to this dentist.
How did this guy make it through the first week?
I don't know, but he's my hero, much like the Slurpee guy is yours.
Oh, my gosh. The dentist claimed he could not help his inadvertent outbreaks of wind.
Sure.
But admitted a colleague once had to get an air freshener out to mask the smell of his trumping. Dental nurse Carol Stokes, who later said she really wasn't, told the hearing how she begged the dentist to stop, saying it was annoying.
It's not.
I didn't like the smell around the practice and it made us feel sick.
What's he eating?
So, she doesn't like, let me write that down, she doesn't like that.
What if he was a proctologist? That would have made it better.
It would have made it excusable.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't, actually, unless he was the patient.
Oh.
We're going down a dark trail. I just asked him to stop doing it, basically, but she told the hearing he found it funny. If I spoke to him about it, he laughed and did it more. Fellow nurse Nicola Groom told how Walton liked to belch loudly, too, and showed no respect for elderly and disabled patients. No respect for them. What about the rest of the people? For anybody?
This guy was found guilty.
Oh, my gosh. Fellow...
Hold on a second. Oh, my goodness.
He was found guilty of a catalog... of inappropriate and unprofessional behavior, including belching and farting in front of the patients and flicking the V signs behind their backs.
Victory?
I don't know. Like little rabbit ears behind
Peace?
Their ears?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe
like little rabbit ears
it.
Behind their ears. Panel chairman Valerie Patterson said, the main aspects of your behavior towards staff and the practice made it difficult for them to work as a team with you, and this was contrary to the interest of your patients. The committee also found that Walden's manner was abrupt, and patients had a justified perception of the dentist as rude and uncaring and slightly smelly. Walton had denied many of the charges alleged to have
that
taken place. It wasn't me, see? It wasn't me, see?
That's bad. So somebody needs help. It wasn't me.
Was it me? Okay, so
he had denied
many of the charges alleged.
I've denied many of the charges on me for doing it.
He denied many of them had taken place at the Green End practice in Green End, Whitechurch, Shropshire, between August 2006 and December 2007.
Dang.
He apologized for his inadvertent
blowing off,
admitted he had walked behind the dentist's chair to flip V signs at patients he disliked. The dentist claimed that his juvenile behavior was caused by frustration at work.
Frustration at work gives me gas. Oh, boy.
Wait, so, we're not done yet.
No, there's more to this story.
Oh, my gosh. The GDC ruled that Walton was frequently abrupt and rude towards patients while working at the surgery. The dentist treated patients from poor backgrounds with disrespect.
Well, then they can't complain.
Yeah, you didn't pay. And demanded some show him their money before he would start treatment.
Show me the money or I'm going to break like crazy.
He would also say bleepity bleep and bleepity bleep while struggling with difficult.
He talks like a robot.
Yeah. He would say beep bop boop while struggling with difficult extraction and made rude comments about patients' ethnic origin, disabilities, or employment status.
So if he's having trouble getting a tooth out, he starts attacking
everybody.
That'd be like, you know, I've seen mechanics trying to get, you know, brake pads off or something they couldn't, and they would cuss. What's the difference?
But they're not cussing at a person.
True.
They're an inanimate object.
Well,
I mean, obviously this guy, he's consistent, if anything. I mean, he's
stinky.
Yeah, that too. Walton was found to have behaved inappropriately towards several individual patients, including telling a nervous teenager undergoing a tooth extraction, "You will sit and let me do it." He told another patient attending an emergency appointment in December 2006 that he had bad breath, commenting it was unfair for his partner and treated him in a humiliating manner.
How can he say anybody has bad breath?
The dentist. Womp. Isn't he there to fix that? The committee also found Walton was routinely rude and sarcastic towards his dental nurses and repeatedly exposed Miss Groom to radiation.
Crap. Now that's a little more
serious. By failing to warn her when he was about to take x-rays while she was in the room. Hey, Miss Groom. Oh, sorry. I'll tell you next time. Miss Groom. Yeah. Well, they thought that was the x-ray machine. It was like every time the x-rays would go off, it'd go.
We're going to fix that machine.
Ms. Patterson noted that the dental nurse, Ms. Groom, had frequently left the room for long periods because she could not cope with his trouser wind. Walton was also found to have difficulty empathizing with patients who had a justified perception of the dentist as rude and uncaring. She said, though she accepted that Walton had not always intended to be offensive.
Oh, Craig, you spend much time in airports?
Not if I can help it.
You do fly some.
I have flown.
Do you go to the lounges or anything before?
Never have time usually.
See, I don't either. I don't get to the airport early enough to do that.
Nor do I want to spend the money.
Right. Well, what if it were all free? What if you could have free food, drink, and Wi-Fi?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Well, listen to this.
Although I think that's not really true.
After 18 days in priority pass lounges, a man spends 2 weeks in jail. So depending on who you ask, gratis food, free-flowing cocktails, and speedy Wi-Fi might make spending 18 consecutive days in an airport sound at least somewhat appealing. When one man missed his flight at Singapore's Chiang Mai Airport, he decided to do just that, hopping from one lounge to the next over more than a two-week period. Rajali Bhutant of Singapore.
Rajali?
Yes.
Why would he do that?
Well, he missed his flight. He was hungry.
I guess it did say that.
Yeah. Of Singapore missed his flight to Kuala Lumpur, so he decided to forge 31 boarding passes on his laptop and proceeded to spend nearly 3 weeks in 9 different priority pass lounges at Shanghai.
What a rascal.
Yeah. Well, after missing his AirAsia flight on August 21st, it took until September 7th before police finally arrested him after a worker became suspicious seeing him enter the lounge multiple times in the prior days.
Why couldn't the worker just come up and say, "Hey, bro, can you hook me up with some of those QR codes?"
The unemployed 32-year-old never gave a reason for his extended airport stay. He pled guilty to 3 counts of forgery and was sentenced to jail for 2 weeks.
So this is all about stealing and forgery, not hanging out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, because he missed his flight and he's like, "Well, I'm hungry." He forged these passes, went to these lounges, ate all the great food, drank all he wanted to, and used their Wi-Fi and was there without leaving for about 3 weeks.
Well, Aaron, that just sounds ridiculous.
Well, Craig, as ridiculous as this story may seem, forging documents to access lounges is nothing new. In August, a Polish man created an app on his phone that generated fake boarding pass QR codes, essentially giving him access to many different lounges. Instead of facing jail time, though, the man presented his app and the security flaw he exploited at a Las Vegas hackers conference. So I think what he did there was, like, the hacker security people, he said, "This is what I did. Look out for it." Or, you know what I mean?
No, he's facing jail time because he did it and then he fessed up to it.
No, yeah, right. He did fess up to it and was facing jail time. But instead of that, they said, okay, if you go explain all this to our security people, you won't have to go to jail.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So while you're certainly entitled.
Well, that's pretty good. So he got payment up front.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. I hope it was worth it.
I wouldn't try that again, though, especially over airport food.
I bet you these lounges have good food, though, because these are the high-end, you know, priority pass lounges.
Yeah, but it's also in Shanghai, Singapore.
Well,
right.
I can eat pad thai. While you're certainly entitled to take full advantage of lounge access when you meet the requirement for access, at least one person paid the price for taking things a bit too far.
Yes, they did.
2 weeks in the clank.
Yes, they did. In the big house.
In the old Stony Lonesome.
The big house? Did you say that already?
What else do I like to call it? The pokey.
The pokey.
Yeah. Throw them in the pokey.
If there's one thing I like in my stories.
Yeah.
It's about good personal hygiene.
Yes.
And somebody being shot.
Yeah. That
those two things. And those don't come along very often.
Why you bring that up?
Well, a Shafter. Okay. A Shafter police officer shot a half-naked man at a fast strip gas station on Lurdo Highway Wednesday morning. I bet you're asking why.
Yeah, why'd he do it?
The Shafter Police Department said around 1:40 a.m., three officers responded to reports of a naked man bathing in windshield wiper cleaning.
Gross.
At the gas station. When they arrived, the man had returned to his vehicle, a black SUV that was reported stolen from Bakersfield.
So this guy steals a nice SUV and goes to take a bath in the windshield washer fluid. And you notice what time this happened?
1:40
a.m. Nothing good happens after midnight. Between, well, you know, it's bad times.
I don't know. There's not the gas stations I've been to, they yeah. don't have a sign at those things saying what they're specifically for. There are clues because there's a squeegee.
Yeah. Like
but there's nothing that says you can't bathe in those.
You think he used the squeegee? Like, to up his back?
When one of the officers went up to the vehicle, police said the officer saw that the suspect had a large knife in his waist.
I bet that hurt.
Not on his waist, in his waist.
Hey, man.
And there was a dog nowhere to be found. As officers continued to investigate, the suspect failed to follow commands. It's because he was dizzy, about to pass out, probably.
Somebody stop talking to me. Just get this knife out of my waist.
And accelerated his vehicle towards two other officers, with one officer directly in the SUV's path, police said. That's when the officer fired his gun at least six times into the SUV, hitting the suspect in the hand. What was this guy, a stormtrooper? The man jumped out of the SUV while it was still moving, police said, and was cut when he jumped out of the vehicle. The SUV crashed into a pole in the parking lot. The man was taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and was later released and booked at the central receiving facility. Police said several knives were found in the vehicle.
We got outlaw.
Not all of them in him.
We got outlaw knives.
We're going to have to.
Yeah.
And
pressure
windshield, yeah, that and windshield cleaners. Yeah. Windshield cleaning.
No more.
Yeah. None of the officers were injured. The officer who fired at the suspect will be on routine paid administrative leave as the shooting is investigated, unless a riot breaks out.
I think they should. I think he should be on investigated shooting lessons because he fired six shots and hit the guy in the hand once.
That's what I'm saying. The guy was a stormtrooper, obviously. Can't hit anything.
Nope.
The investigation is expected to continue for several hours.
Oh, man. That's some long investigation right there.
It is not.
Who's over it? Wigglesworth?
I don't know. It is not known if the man was under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Hey, Craig, you know what time it is?
Top 10 time?
Yep.
Yay.
Playing our little top 10 ditty real quick. Okay, go ahead and get your top 10 list. I didn't let Craig see this beforehand.
Is this it?
That's it.
Okay, here we go.
And I'm going to let you read them.
Top 10 outrageous comic book advertisements.
Now, the younger generation may not know exactly. I haven't read a comic book in literally tens of years. But I used to love the ads in the back. Did you ever look at those ads?
Yeah, I used to buy. I bought some 3D glasses. Not 3D, X-ray glasses.
Okay, that's made the list, by the way.
I bought X-ray glasses, which I will speak to then if they're in the
okay.
list. And I bought something else.
I remember ordering.
And it took forever.
It did. It took like months.
Forever.
Yeah, took forever.
It's like Chris Elliott, Get a Life, when he ordered the submarine when he was a kid and he's an adult and it shows up at the house.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly
a full submarine.
Like
it literally took like 20 years to get there.
It's funny, submarines are on this list too.
Oh man, I didn't peek.
I know.
I didn't peek.
I know.
I didn't peek.
I know.
Okay.
All right.
So, you mean to do this?
Yeah, you do it. And this week's top 10 list, actually, we've got comments to
We've got comments.
Got comments to go
so
with.
So this can bring back some memories.
Yeah, I know. It's going
to
be fun.
So these are in the order already, 10
yeah,
to 1?
Okay. 10 to 1.
Okay. Top 10 outrageous comic book advertisements. Number 10. Sea monkeys.
Have you ever had sea monkeys?
I have.
Me too.
They're just brine shrimp, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they are brine shrimp.
A bowl full of happiness. How many of us were suckered into purchasing these aquatic miracles of life?
All right, number 9.
So number 9, I actually have some experience with. Amazing X-ray vision glasses.
Now, I wanted some of these.
I had these, and you may blow the miracle here for you. And I remember this clearly. a little pun. They actually had like what I would call a feather. That looked like a feather.
Yeah.
And so it was separated out, kind of fanned out.
Okay.
So you were looking through hairs, for lack of a better description.
Okay.
So you would look through the glasses, and the center of the hole was this like little hair thing. So you were like looking through that. And somehow, I guess somebody stumbled upon the idea that it, or maybe, I don't know how they came up with this, but it looked like when you put your hand up to the light, it gave this illusion you were looking at bones in your hand.
Really? So it did kind of work.
As a kid, it seemed like it worked. It was just an optical illusion.
Well, that's cool.
But I thought it was pretty.
I mean, for a buck. Of course, a buck back then was what, $100 today?
It was a buck plus shipping and like 9 months of your life waiting on it.
At least.
So number 8.
Number 8.
I would have had this one if I thought it worked or...
You know, I don't ever remember seeing this one.
How to hypnotize with the hypno coin.
The hypno coin.
Well, how many shows did you see as a kid? They always had like either a watch or something going back and forth. And that was how they hypnotized people. This is called How to Hypnotize.
It's easy.
Impose your will over someone. Sure, impose your will by learning these amazing hypnotic techniques. You can order from the inset advertisement and get the hypno coin.
Nice.
How the heck do you spin it, and why turn your victim into zombies with arms held out in front? That's what it's got. Yeah, it's actually got a picture of this lady with her arms together.
Walking like Frankenstein.
And I can't, there's this sort of laden sort of message in the ad. If you look, it's always a woman involved. Like it's supposed to make some guy think he's going to be able to like hypnotize a woman.
Yeah.
Go make me a sandwich.
And then there's a sofa in this one too.
There's a sofa. Number 7.
I remember this one well.
Charles Atlas.
Yes. I used to actually read this comic, and it was the same. It never changed. You know, it's an advertisement.
Yeah, he could make you a new man. You could wear cheetah patterned Speedo, and you could have big muscles. So,
let me prove.
Basically, this was targeted at young men who wanted to get all buff and thought they could become, you know, big, you know, beach body muscle guys.
For skinny little chumps like I was.
Yeah.
The old Charles Atlas.
Number 6. Automatic firing tripod machine gun. Never seen this one.
Yeah, no, I hadn't either.
I don't know what it is. It says, nothing like preparing your youth early for the days of protecting our country. It's magazine-fed and swivels in all directions. So once you kill all your enemies, you can turn it against your fellow soldiers. Friendly fire never felt so right. And all this imaginary killing is yours for $1.98.
Cha-ching!
Number 5. Build your own Apollo lunar module.
Let's go to the moon.
Let's do it. You get all of this just for one dime. The real beauty of this was that you actually mailed the dime in the safety coin holder included. Do not tape or seal. And you got not one, but 2 lunar astronauts in full space gear. Good to know your toy astronauts will not be braving fake space without full space gear.
Look, place dime here. That's what it says on the little thing you send in.
Oh, my gosh. I remember that.
Yeah.
Not for this thing, but I remember. Okay, one that Aaron could really enjoy.
I knew it. I knew you were going to throw me in this one.
Number 4. Grow, man, grow. Be taller.
Ladies, too.
Does it say ladies, too?
Yeah, up here.
Ladies, too.
Woohoo. Anybody could be taller.
Height gain guaranteed. Where do I stick the dime? I'm going to order this for you. $7.98.
I'll tell you where to stick the dime.
The truth is, at best, you were sent a pair of lift shoes.
Hey, that's still worth $7.98 to me.
At worst, you were sent advice like stand up straighter.
Yeah.
Either way, you weren't going to be any taller.
So you pay $8 and you get a plastic wedge.
You get a motivational speech.
And stand up straight, shorty.
Okay, the next one. Number 3.
Yes.
live miniature dog at no cost.
So you get a free teacup poodle or whatever.
That's
that
a chihuahua.
Is. Yeah, chihuahua.
Yeah. They give you good advice and say you can keep it in a box and enjoy teaching it tricks.
PETA.
Yes, like play dead.
He's so good.
Because keeping your dog in a box will suck all the life out of it.
Watch him play dead. He hadn't moved in 3 weeks. He's so good.
But hurry, they only have a limited supply of miniature dogs. Imagine the storage facilities. The truth, you could get a dog, and some ads offered a monkey.
I do remember the monkey ad.
If you could get 20 of your friends to order hand-colored enlargements of photos they send into Dean Studios, the ad sponsor. I'm betting not many people could sucker 20 of their friends to pay for this ripoff, but I assume a few did, getting the mutant dog. Number two. 200 World War II soldiers.
That's two armies? Those are tiny armies.
They are. You know how much they are?
No.
$1.98. Two armies, the Americans and the Germans. Okay, I certainly didn't believe I would be getting real soldiers in the mail, but I fully expected to receive unbreakable plastic army men.
Yeah, because the ad says.
As stated in the ad.
Yeah, made of unbreakable plastic, scaled
in. It clearly says unbreakable. I assume I was getting some space-age plastic that would resist all efforts to destroy these men of plastic. The truth, these plastic army men met their demise with frightening ease. Of course, they melted effortlessly. I can forgive that, but a few days after receiving them, it looked like war had indeed been hell. Many were missing legs, arms, and even heads.
Oh, no.
But they continued to fight on, brave soldiers that they were. I was disappointed, as one bite would render any plastic soldier headless. Why would you bite the soldier's head?
You're a kid. If you're going to order army men, you're going to bite them.
Oh, my gosh. And here we go. We're right back to Chris Elliott, Get a Life.
Number one,
nuclear sub, comma, army tank?
Yeah.
Oh, you
two
can
different
eat,
ads.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Two different ads.
Hey, that sub fires rockets and torpedoes.
Yeah, it does. $6.98, you get a real sub.
Over 7 foot long.
I had no idea that that show actually was rooted in a real ad.
Yeah.
I'd never seen the ad before.
That's a big sub.
With fires rockets and torpedoes, with that one statement, all bets are off. This submarine must work. I don't care how it was powered. You could power it with a nuclear reactor or rubber bands, but I fully expected it to submerge and fire freaking torpedoes. Is that too much to ask?
No, it's not.
And when I read I'm getting a real mobile tank, I fully expected to be crushing the neighborhood bully under my metal machine of death.
Yeah.
A real working electronically lit control panel only adds to the promise of realism.
Sure.
The truth, each item is really just a weak cardboard cutout you put together and nothing worked. No rockets, no torpedoes from your sub, and the tank could be trampled by a pack of ill-tempered kittens. Lesson learned, you can't get instruments of war for under $7 with a 10-day free trial. You just can't.
Well, yeah, those are pretty misleading ads.
Those are great, though. That was really great.
It's a little trip down memory lane, so to speak.
Well, I mean, and actually, we can actually say for a change, most of this predated us.
Yeah, it's true. Well, that about does it for two middle-aged dudes and a microphone. We thank you very much for listening, and we hope that you'll tell your friends, neighbors, family.
We hope that you will actually review and rate.
Please.
On iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Yeah, or wherever. Wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wherever you listen. Go ahead and throw a little review out there, a little rating out there. We're not just saying it. We really want you to do it.
Please do it. It only takes a few minutes, and it would help us out immensely.
Yes, it'd be awesome.
So until next time, have a good day, good night,
and we'll see you next time.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.